Well, today is a podcast that could get somebody killed, or at least milkshaked. It is Bridget Fetisy joining us on the podcast today. You don't want to miss Bridget. If you know who she is, you'll definitely listen. If you don't, you need to. She's very, very funny, outspoken, and somebody who is finding herself now looking at the left, which she's always been a part of, going, I know, I'm not sure, I don't know where I belong anymore, which I think is happening to so many Americans. Also, we talk about law and order in Portland, Oregon, and how bad things are. We get an update on Andy No as well. So all part of today's podcast. Don't miss it.
And don't miss the museum that's going on here at the studios. You can go to mercury1.org. Get your tickets. It's in Texas. You get to go through kind of the real rooms we do the show in every day, but also see an amazing exhibit about freedom. I mean, it's 4th of July week. It's
yeah, come spend your 4th of July Independence weekend with us. Come and grab your tickets now at mercury1.org. That's mercury1.org. I'll see you at the Mercury Museum here in Dallas, Texas, at the Mercury Studios on July 4th, Independence Day. We open the doors again. Beginning July 4th through the 7th, mercury1.org.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So what's solid anymore? Remember I told you that everything that was liquid would be solid, and everything that was solid will be liquid someday? Well, isn't that it? I mean, what are the rules anymore? What are the laws? If we don't enforce our laws, do our laws matter? In Portland, they don't. A Portland area reporter known for his coverage of far-left violence has been injured in an attack by alleged members of Antifa, leaving him hospitalized with a brain bleed. If you know who Andy No is, pray for him. Send your thoughts and prayers. He would appreciate them. He's in the hospital today for a brain bleed. He is an editor at Quillette, which is, if you haven't gone to Quillette.com, you should. It's really, really good. It's classical liberalism.
It's been described everywhere as a conservative website, which is not what it is.
It's not.
It's really not.
It is. If you want to define conservatives as constitutional. Constitutional conservatives are classical liberals. They are people that you're not always going to agree with, and sometimes they don't even agree. They're like, I hate to say this, I don't want this to be true, but if we like freedom, we have to support this.
And a lot of times it's aligned with our Constitution, but it was started by an Australian. It's not even an American publication.
Correct. Anyway, so he is one of the editors at Quillette, and he's also the host of the podcast Things You Should Know. He was reporting on the Antifa street demonstrations in Portland on the 29th of last month, and that's over the weekend. He was in Portland. He was on the streets. There was another big protest down in the park, and he was filming the police taking bats away from people. You can't have any bats in the park. All of the people that were there, he was documenting. For instance, I loved this, the Satanists of Portland were there, their little group, and their little logo was out in the park. All kinds of different groups, including a lot of communist flags, red flags. The Democratic Socialists were the organizers of it, and they were selling milkshakes, so you could milkshake somebody. And by the way, the
vegan milkshakes
which apparently are now including a little bit of concrete in them,
quick drying.
So you know, no big deal, little concrete, little milkshake, how could that hurt anybody? So Andy is standing there, and all he's doing is filming, and he says, I've watched all of the videos from him, and he starts to say, people are following me, they're trying to block me. They harass him. He leaves several times, goes over to the police, and he says, look, I'm being harassed. Are you guys going to do anything? Nope, they do nothing. He goes back. He comes back. I have evidence. I'm being harassed. Are you going to do anything? No. He goes back. This time, in the middle of the street, they take their signs, the wood signs, because they don't have any bats. They take anything that they have. They start hurling things at him. Of course, milkshakes. Then some sort of a chemical is thrown into his face. They beat him with the wood signs. And he's bleeding from his ears. He's bleeding from his eyes. They do nothing. The police do nothing. He's now in the hospital with a brain bleed. We hope that he is doing well. We hope that he is doing better. It was my understanding last night that he was out of the hospital, but I heard just about an hour ago that it looks like he is still in the hospital. We'd love to talk to him when he is able to talk. But watch the video. It's pretty shocking.
It's amazing that that's happening in an American city and that the police and the mayor seem to have absolutely no concern. I mean, I'm sure the police want to step in on these cases. We've heard from them before, but the mayor has a very specific ideology that allows this.
If you're living in Portland or anywhere in Oregon and you have seen this, can you just call us and tell us how are people dealing with this? I mean, how do you go to Portland? How do you work in Portland with this? Are you in fear? You know, it's amazing to me. We should put this up for this weekend. We started our museum this last weekend, and I'll talk to you about it. And it's all about freedom. And there's one place in the center of our atrium that is really pretty shocking. It has Klan members and the Klan outfits with the hoods and the hanging tree. And behind that is the hanging cage with the orange jumpsuits. And these are jumpsuits from slaves, ISIS slaves, that we actually freed. And so these are actual jumpsuits from people that were taken by ISIS. And next to it is an actual ISIS uniform and gun belt and everything else that was taken from an ISIS member, both wearing masks. The same thing is happening with Antifa. Now, why the mask? Is it because they don't want to get caught? They don't want people knowing who they are? No, masks are used by people like this because they want to make sure that you don't know who they are, not for fear of trouble, because as you know, they're not getting in trouble in Portland, not for fear that you will know who they are, but they want to be able to blend back into society so you never know if that's the guy that was trying to beat you up. Was that the guy that came into my house and took my husband and lynched him in a tree? I don't know, because all I saw is his eyes behind the white mask. Is that the person that came and was rounding up all the Christians in our community and beheaded them? I don't know, because all I saw were his eyes in the black ISIS mask. Is this the group of people that were hassling and beating up Andy Ngo? Well, we're not really sure, because all we saw were the eyes. They want to blend into society, so they never reveal. You never know if you're safe. Is this person at the store that's working behind the counter, are they actually Antifa? This is about fear and intimidation. And that is as un-American as you can get. No one in America should be afraid, especially when the police can do something about it. Was it good? Was this a good thing when people were making Martin Luther King afraid? When they were throwing things through his window? When they were burning down black businesses? Was that a good thing? Is it a good thing that they're just taking people? For instance, the guy in the wheelchair. There's a, right by the park, there's this apartment complex where the elderly live. They're scared to come out of their houses. Is it okay for people who had food carts that had been there forever, that their business is destroyed? How can we possibly have freedom if there is no security? See, here's the thing. We all got together in a pact, and this happened long, long time ago. We were all just kind of together, and yet we were all responsible for our own farm or whatever. And when we would be raided, there would be nobody there to help. When we would be in town, our families could be molested. When we had something go wrong, we had nobody except our neighbors. And so what we did is we became more and more specialized, as we said, you know what, I'll grow the wheat, you make the bread. So I didn't have to do everything in my life. You know, I'll make the wheat and I'll trade you wheat if you'll help build the barn. As we started to do those things, and we busied ourselves in our own world to be able to exist, we needed to hire people to watch over the things, because we couldn't do that, keep the bad guys away, and be a farmer, and be a logger, or a miller, a shopkeeper. So we hired somebody to do that. And we hired a mayor to make sure that was happening. Now the mayor of Portland is not doing that. This mayor is not protecting American citizens. The police are not protecting American citizens. They are allowing American citizens who are fully in their right to drive down the street. You see the woman who was trapped in her car, Antifa surrounding her, yelling at her, spitting on her. Why? Because she was just driving down the street. They took control of the streets again. Is that America? And by the way, the media is doing... No, I was going to say they're doing nothing. No, they're doing worse than nothing. Let me give you a flashback of Chris Cuomo. Here he is on CNN talking about Antifa.
And talk about Antifa. I've watched them in the streets protesting in different situations, okay? There are certainly aspects of them that are true to a cause. That is a good cause. They want social justice. They want whatever they want in that context. You tell
Not
me
Antifa.
When that has
Antifa
ever
is
happened.
Anarchists.
You tell me when that has ever happened with neo-Nazis. Where they have ever been doing
Chris,
the right thing.
Antifa is not a good cause. Antifa does not have good aims. Antifa wants power, wants political power taken through force. That's what Antifa
Steve,
is all about. I mean, they are the
just
inheritors
be clear about
of
what
Nazis
I'm saying.
And...
That's what the media is doing. They're not covering Andy Ngo. And if they do, they'll make him into some right-wing kook. Portland, Oregon, you better stand up. And federal government, isn't it time you demand what Ted Cruz is demanding? Action being taken against these mayors and anyone else who won't enforce the law. This is a corrupt system, and people, Americans, who are not dressed in black, who are not afraid to have their face being seen, those Americans need protection, and they need it now.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. And hello, Melissa.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Hi,
Sue. Hey, how's it going?
So, it's good.
Good.
I'm not in Portland, so it's good.
Where are you now?
I'm actually in Texas. I came to see your museum yesterday.
Oh, wow. What'd you think?
So... It was awesome.
Good.
It was fantastic.
Good.
But I've lived in Portland since I was 10, and we sold our house in December because we couldn't take it anymore. My daughter is 9. She's not safe there. It's bleeding out of Portland now. We were living just outside the city of Portland and Southeast Portland, and it's crazy. It's nuts. We got robbed. Police won't even show up. We don't go into Portland. We avoid it like the plague.
What?
Because you take your life into your hands.
Well, this is a great American city. Portland is a beautiful city. What is the mayor thinking?
I don't have any idea what that man is thinking. I didn't vote for him. I don't understand him. People are dying. People are getting beaten. People's cars are getting beaten. You can't even drive in the street without Antifa beating your car.
Were people around you, were the neighbors all cool with this?
No.
They are?
Nobody knows what to do, though.
They're not
cool with it.
Okay, all right.
No, but nobody knows what to do because you got the mayor allowing it. What do we do? You can't protest Antifa because they'll go strictly to violence right away. You can't. What do you do?
All right. Thank you, Melissa. I'm glad that you were down here at the museum this weekend. Let me go to Hannah in Oregon. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Stu. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I don't live in Portland, but I'm about to head in there for work today. I work in downtown Portland and have for a couple of years, actually, in news. And I was working during last year's protest between Antifa and, at that time, Patriot Prayer, when it turned into a riot. And it's just crazy. Luckily, most of their protests are on the weekend, so I don't know that it impacts a great number of commuters. But when it does, it's like everything shuts down. They shut down the streets. Police have to come out and, like, fire, what are those projectiles?
The rubber bullets and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it seems like something you wouldn't see in America.
How do you and other people in Portland feel about this? Is this... Are people, like our last caller just said, they don't like it, but what are you going to do about it? Or are most people in agreement with the ideas, at least, of Antifa?
I think the latter, for sure. I think most people who live in Portland don't like that this is what their city is like, but they're more politically on Antifa's side. So I think it's hard for them to figure out how they feel about it.
Unbelievable. Are you safe when you go downtown?
I mean, I would say so. I don't feel unsafe, but it's definitely, you know, you have to deal with a lot of things that you might not want to, like protesters yelling at you with bullhorns and stuff.
Wow. What a great place to live. Hannah, thank you so much.
She didn't get hit in the head with a crowbar, like the old guy who's just walking down the street.
Yeah, or Andy No, who's in the hospital for a brain bleed today. If you live in Portland or you've just left Portland, we'd love to hear from you on what is it like to live in a city that seems like a third world country now, where there is no control of the streets and the mayor is in with the bad guys. We go to Jay in Ohio, just left Portland. Hello, Jay.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. I actually left about 7 years ago. I live in Ohio now, where I grew up, and I spent 19 years in Portland. Downtown used to be the destination for everybody.
It was beautiful.
It was clean. It was fun. It was safe. It was beautiful. Yep. It's sketchy and scary now. I still work for a company that's based in downtown Portland, so I'm back there several times a year. I left about the time that the Occupy movement was going on. And I started carrying police-grade pepper mace. I didn't want to carry a gun because I was afraid I might, you know, use it and then have that used against me, since the law isn't on the side of good people in Portland. But it's bad. People are pulling their businesses out of downtown. Columbia Sportswear pulled out their flagship store because of all this stuff. And the mayor was supposed to be the agent of change, and I follow Portland politics pretty closely. He got intimidated as soon as he got in office by the Antifa and the homeless coalition, and he's done absolutely nothing to make that city safe since then.
So is he with them, or is he just a coward?
I think it's both. I think he's slightly with them, but he's mostly a coward. They actually went to his house and protested and threatened his family. And the moment they did that, he turned into a complete coward and has done nothing but kowtow to the violence and the mobs that take over Portland. I've been there on a couple weekends when that stuff is going on. It is flat out scary. Scary enough as it is. I mean, you can't walk down the street without some homeless person. And there's a lot of homeless by choice in downtown Portland.
Yes.
Harassing you hard. And I'm 6'3" and 215 pounds, and I'm scared.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Alan in Florida also left Portland. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn, for your time. I left 11 years ago. I went to a event that is quite common, and I was threatened by a fella. All he did was learn that I had conservative values, and he threatened me. And what finally broke the camel's back is I found out, it was on the news, about how Portland and Seattle were competing with each other to see who could get the most child prostitutes.
Jesus.
And that was the final straw. I says, that's it. I'm getting the hell out of here. Because those people are dangerous. If they're going to encourage child prostitution, and what they were doing is that I lived in Canada for 3 years, right in the British Columbia area. And they were showing videos on the TV at night about trucks pulling up to the American border and dropping off 10, 15, 20, 25 people at a time to run across the border. And they're Asians primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the Asians have swamped the entire government of Washington State. They've swamped it. People I know who work for the government there, they say, you can't believe what those people have done. And that was because of the one governor that they had there who was an Asian. And, I mean, he just took the people out of power and put his people in.
Yeah, well, I think we crossed a line here at some point where I'm not really sure we agree on things. I know a lot of Asian people who are wonderful. I'm not sure where you're going with that. Okay, Alan, odd, thank
I thought,
you.
I said agents at first, and I was like, agents? What are agents doing in this? Yeah. I misunderstood that.
Yeah,
that was
turn. If they are dropping illegals, well, I mean, look. I don't know how to even deal with that.
These are like, if people are doing things that are wrong, like committing crimes or violating laws, that's the issue here.
Yeah,
really doesn't,
it's not really race. Yeah, no. It's not really race.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Bridget Fetisee is working once again. She was working at Playboy magazine for a while. She is a controversial woman and a really, I think, important voice that you need to hear. She grew up, she thought she was a liberal. I'm not sure she thinks she doesn't know what she is, I think, at this point, at least last time I talked to her. But she's on a fascinating journey, and she has seen the underbelly of the left and doesn't like it. She's now a contributor writer at Mel, Dame, The Federalist. I'm trying to convince her to come to work here with us, and she's back in the studio. Bridget, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good. That's good
to
have you.
Might be my only option to work here soon. Yeah, yeah.
So, well, it's usually
after this.
Yeah, yeah. Usually it is. Usually it's the last place you work. not necessarily by choice. So, Bridget, first of all, for anybody who doesn't know you, describe yourself. Who you are.
I was born on the East Coast. I moved every year and a half. That's a very long story. We're not sure why.
Right.
My people ask me if I'm military, but I don't think I was. My dad was in Russia like every year and a half. Every 2 weeks, and we moved every year and a half.
Your dad was in Russia?
He's probably going to kill me for talking about this.
Do you know what your dad did? Was your dad like...
It was dirty.
I was in the import-export business.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And I was a new girl at schools, and I'd raise my hand, and the teacher would say, like, what does your dad do, Bridget? And I'd say, oh, he buys and sells Russian technology. And I'm like, okay, little Johnny, what does your dad do?
What years was that?
Gosh, I was born in 78, and pretty much until... weirdly, Russia opened up. So
this might be something you might want to have a conversation with.
I have, and yeah. Supposedly it was. It's just me being crazy.
I've seen this movie. Nicolas Cage
is
in it.
Yeah. When we saw True Lies with him, and we were all looking at him the whole movie. Dad.
Okay, so Dad was some sort of a Russian smuggler. What did Mom do?
She was a stay-at-home mom. I'm the oldest of five.
Is her name Natasha?
No.
Okay.
I was married to a Belarusian for 5 years, and he was a Grigit. Your dad was a spy. we moved a lot. I'm the oldest of five. I come from a big Irish Catholic family. My dad's one of 10. I have 26 first cousins. But because I moved so much, I had the opportunity to be exposed to all parts of America particular. And I actually hated it growing up. And I used to say my parents should have just named me New Girl because nobody ever knew me. They were like, hey, New Girl. And but it also gave me, I think, tools that I didn't realize I was developing because you're always the outsider looking in. Mm-hmm. And it's uniquely prepared me for this moment I find myself in, not knowing who I am or what I am. looking, I feel like, at all of the tribes. So I'm used to kind of observing the tribes from the outside.
Are you sick of the tribes?
Yeah, I am.
I am too.
I think
I would love to see one big tribe, and that is the American Constitution tribe, which would include pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
As long as you agree that, hey, everybody can have their own opinion, their own life, do their own thing. Just don't jam it down my throat. Let's live together. Why can't we be a part of that tribe? What happened to that tribe?
I don't know. It's weird. You were asking how people live in Portland. So I've worked in Oregon, in Southern Oregon, and I have a lot of friends in Portland, and they have kids, and they don't even know what's going on with the Antifa stuff.
How do they not know?
Well, they know from the news, but it's not in their neighborhoods. It's not like it's spilling out into the streets everywhere. So my friend said, I asked him yesterday, and he's like, I didn't even hear about it. You don't even know this stuff is going on unless you just avoid that part of town, I guess. But I feel like Portland has become kind of ground zero for the extreme wings of these tribes. The most extreme are kind of playing out their little cosplay fantasies on the streets. To the tune, it's so dumb. I mean, I think it's so dumb. But now it's getting not so dumb.
it's dangerous.
Now it's
still
dangerous.
Dumb.
Yeah,
it's getting dumber by the minute. But yeah, it's just getting more dangerous.
That was the thing this weekend. What happened? It was chilling for somebody like me who doesn't always, you know, write in lockstep, seeing a lot of blue check journalists who are affiliated with places like the Huffington Post and the New York Times, mainstream organizations justifying the assault of this journalist.
Well, Eric Weinstein wrote this today.
I love Eric. Hi, Eric.
Too. He's great. He's great.
He's not here. He's just saying,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
we keep
hi.
Him in a box in the other room. So he wrote this, quote, a contributor to the Wall Street Journal was attacked on video by Antifa demonstrators where police were backed away. Hospitalized with suspected brain injury after caustic chemicals were allegedly thrown in his face, disguised by domestic terrorist as a milkshake. He says, where is this story? Because the one I read is this. Members of groups opposed to fascism clashed with far right Proud Boys in Portland demonstrations in which a conservative journalist for a right wing website, Quillette, was injured.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are the same stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's exactly how it's being reported, if it's being reported.
It's always framed as clashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right wing, you know, conservative, and these are people who are just against fascism. They are fascists. How do they not see that?
I'm going to get milkshaked when I go back to L.A. just for sitting here and talking to you.
Can I tell you something? Please. I love fresh strawberry milkshakes are delicious. Yes. You know, I don't mind it. Try to aim for my mouth, please.
It is chilling, though, to the political violence. Where does that end exactly? When you're saying It's okay to throw a milkshake. It's okay to spit on people. It's okay to...
Well, but what do you... I mean, we have, as you probably notice when you walk through and right out of the dressing room area, you know, is, you know, the Klan and...
I was like, what's happening?
we should be clear. We didn't rent them space. There's a museum going on.
There's a museum going on. Okay. So you're coming through. But as you're looking at this, I gave tours this weekend of this museum. And it's so clear what's happening right now. And anytime anyone says, shut up. Anytime anyone says you don't have a right to have that point of view, anytime anybody is beating somebody to get them to shut up, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You have a real problem. And I think Antifa is strengthened not only by in Portland, the mayor's office, but by all of the journalists, by all of the people who say, well, I didn't even know it. I didn't see it going on. I don't pay attention. You need to pay attention. Our country is in trouble right now. And it's also strengthened by this concept that you don't have a valued opinion. You had a valued opinion until you started standing up going, wait, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with everything they're saying on the right. I don't agree with everything they're saying on the left, but I got to take a stand here because this is ridiculous. Look at what you're doing. Once you said that, you're no longer a human.
Now I'm an alt-right. I'm the alt-right. That's it's a little disconcerting to see. What is really worrisome to me is just the justification of it that I'm seeing from people with very large platforms of this is okay, because you want to talk about a slippery slope. And when I was on your podcast, we talked about this. This is the kind of stuff that does lead to self-censorship. If you see a journalist get beat up for covering Antifa in a way that isn't the way the mainstream covers it, and then you see those journalists saying, well, actually... If you in the good faith argument is that they believe, if I believe I'm fighting Nazis, of course you should be fighting Nazis. But the problem is that word fascist has been it's this coverall for anyone that disagrees with you. It's been the meaning of it has been destroyed as well as Nazi. So now when we've talked about that, I mean, Dave Rubin and I were saying this. It's like if only anyone was saying this is bad, because now. When you're saying speech is violent, it gives people the right to be violent for speech. And that's
insanity.
It's so hard for me to believe that it's happening.
But if you look again at history, and this is where we have to look for patterns. The only reason to learn history is so you can see patterns. And once you recognize the pattern, it's never going to look the same. Again, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. So it looks a lot like, but it's not exactly. So burning books, history rhymes. We're not burning books, but we are taking books out of libraries. We are deleting voices and their opinions online. There's just no actual burning of everything that Steven Crowder or the Weinsteins have done. They've just been banned and relegated and put behind a digital wall. So history, no, they're not burning books. It rhymes.
They're mobbing people before they even get published. You can't burn a book if it never gets published.
Exactly right.
So it's not even, you don't need to burn the book. Just mob the author until they retract their book from publication and then have to apologize.
Right. And when you look at, well, I'm going to take it one more place. I'll take it someplace really dangerous. What was the purpose of lynching people?
Oh boy!
And Bridget has a lot to say about this.
What's going on? This is definitely when I'm going to end up trending on Twitter, which I've been trying to avoid.
Well, we're going to try to change that for you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bridget Fennessy coming up.
I knew it.
In 60 seconds more with Bridget. Okay, so let's talk about just lynching for just a second.
Obviously.
Bridget, you were for it, right? Everybody knows.
Wow, you're trending on Twitter. Right? Yeah.
Hey. The whole point. The whole point of lynching was not to kill black people. It was to intimidate all other black people and white people. You know, there were between 1880 and 1964, there were about 5,000 lynchings, right around 5,000 lynchings of Americans. Three quarters of them were black. The last quarter of them were white.
White people who were defending.
Defending blacks, and helping, right, and standing up. The idea was to intimidate, to kill those people doing it publicly. Many times they were announced in advance. Hey, we're having a lynching. People would come with picnic baskets. Yeah. Now, those people who didn't come with picnic baskets to watch these lynchings, those were the people that, you know, the mask over the Klan was trying to intimidate, and the lynching was trying to intimidate. Shut up, sit down, don't get involved. Well, that's the problem. Too many people are either uninformed, willful ignorance, or they just don't want to get involved because I think they don't know what to do.
I'm with the don't want to get involved.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are.
I know. Here I am.
Yeah, you are. You just told me, I said to you beforehand, because you are nervous about it, because you are a target. I said to you before it went on, I said, you don't have to come on.
I know, you did. That was nice of you.
And you said... Mm-hmm.
I said, just because I'm afraid of something doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. And I do think it's important to have conversations. And I think a way to fight the idea that you can't talk to somebody who's an alt-right figure.
Yeah, like Glenn Beck.
Me?
Yeah.
Like Stu.
Like Stu. I'm a big alt-righter. Yeah, that's me.
You know, what's crazy is we've been standing against the alt-right before it was even called the alt-right.
I see the position that, you know, people like you and Ben Shapiro, because I keep an eye on the far right just to see what they're up to. And it's interesting to me when you guys are constantly getting it from
both sides.
Both sides.
Yeah, it's kind of constant. A lonely place to be. Kind of a lonely place. But it's a great place to be because you are with people like Dave Rubin, the Weinsteins. You're with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a growing. There was time that it was just kind of like, hello, hello, hello. Nobody around. But now it's starting to be filled with really quality people.
I think they're seeing, I think a lot of people are burned out on the tribalism. And when you get out into America, if you're not on Twitter or in the media, you're not necessarily exposed to the level of vitriol and tribalism that we are. I think that James Lindsay was recently posting a study about how actually you're radicalizing yourself if you're on social media a lot, and Twitter in particular. And I have conversations. One of my patron levels is speaking to people. And I realized recently that there's 21 at that level, 18 of them, every single person's in a different state. And many of them are in swing states who didn't vote for Trump. And I've been asking them how they feel about the election coming up. And I keep screaming at the left. That was kind of how I ended up in the middle, was saying, you guys are pushing people away. You're pushing voters who are moderates out of your party just because if you dare to speak out and say, hey, this is maybe crazy, you're now labeled a conservative or alt-right or worse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these, the other thing that I noticed and talked to my people about was that there were all of this kind of chicken littling that occurred. The economy is going to collapse. We're going to be in World War III. It hasn't yet. Doesn't mean it won't. But because that didn't happen, a lot of these people who didn't vote for Trump or might have been squishy about it are now like, well, it's not that bad, I guess. And seeing that the left is now fully, you know, barreling towards socialism in ways that are not even covert. I just think that, and that's what I was saying at this point, that I feel like the entitlement of the vote is why don't you care about losing somebody like me? I'm a registered independent. Why don't you care? That's a question I have, because now I'm just labeled a racist. And that's a certain level of entitlement to just say, well, vote for us or you're racist and hate poor people.
So I need to take a break. But when we come back, let's go there, because I can't figure it out. I can't figure out, are they just living in such a tight little bubble that they just think everybody thinks the same way as they do, or what? What is their plan? We'll get to that with Bridget Phetasy, who is hopefully going to be trending on Twitter today for just being on this program, coming up in a second.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
It's an amazing weekend here at the Mercury Studios. We opened the doors again. I felt a little like Willy Wonka opening up the back door, welcoming the first guests through the Mercury Studios. We did 12 score, and 3 years ago, the unfinished promise of unity. We have the Gettysburg Address here. We have the Emancipation Proclamation, the 14th Amendment. You can see them firsthand in Lincoln's handwriting. It's amazing to sit there and look at these things. And we urge you to come and reflect on what freedom really means and how freedom sometimes is hard fought. And what is our responsibility today? You know, you can talk about, oh, our founders, they were screwed up. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They should have done more on slavery. Okay, that's cool. We can debate that all day long, and we can look at it, and we do in the museum. We show you the different things that they were debating at the time. But aren't we writing history ourselves today? How's history? 250 years from now, are people going to go, you know, those people in 2018, boy, what was wrong with them? I mean, they knew their phones were being made by slaves in China. They knew that North Korea had actual concentration camps, but they didn't do anything about it. What was wrong with them? Yeah, they're like us. They're going to say those things. So what are we doing today? Join us for Independence Day, July 4th. I'm going to be giving tours, and I'd love to have you on our tours. I'd love to meet you, shake your hand, say hello, and walk you through 12 score and 3 years ago. It's here at the Mercury Studios in Las Colinas, Texas. It's right outside of Dallas. Bring your family. Also, it is open the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and it closes on the 7th. 7th is the last day. So join us now. You can get all of the information and your tickets now at mercuryone.org. Come spend the Independence Weekend with us at the Mercury Museum, mercuryone.org.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.